This is Agriculture Today.
And for us, this is really a reaffirmation of EPA's.
Darren Kopic is CEO of the Ag Retailers Association.
So it's a responsible decision, and it's hopefully will help us along the way toward making these decisions exclusively on science and not on jury opinions.
On Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court-backed Federal Pesticide Label Authority. The court ruled in Durnell versus Monsanto that the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, or FIFRA, preempts state failure to warn claims when they conflict with federal labeling decisions. The case involved Roundup and state-level warning requirements. American Soybean Association says the decision supports clear, consistent labels and a uniform regulatory framework for pesticide use. Group argues that state-by-state warnings create confusion and threaten access to key crop protection products. Ruling does not declare glyphosate safe or settle every legal dispute over the herbicide, but it does center on whether federally approved labels can be overridden through state failure to warn claims. So for producers, the practical effect, label certainty, pesticide access, product availability, liability risk, and future regulation shifting back towards EPA, Congress, and federal policy debates. U.S. hog numbers slightly lower, but stronger pigs per litter performance helping keep pork supplies from tightening more sharply. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says all hogs and pigs, 73.7 million head as of June 1st, down slightly from both last year and the previous quarter. Producers, though, intend to farrow fewer sows this summer and fall that could limit future expansion if productivity gains don't fully offset the lower sow numbers. U.S. red meat production fell sharply in May as cattle and hog slaughter slowed. It keeps attention on tight supplies and meat market price support. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says commercial red meat production, 4.1 billion pounds, down 6% from a year earlier. Beef production down 8%. Cattle slaughter down 11% year over year. Heavier animals, though, offset part of that decline as average live weights increased 42 pounds to 1,464 pounds. States could face new budget pressure after USDA reported a National Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program payment error rate of 10.62%. for fiscal year 2025. Department says the rate includes both overpayments and underpayments and represents over $10 billion in improper payments nationwide. SNAP overpayments alone topping $8.5 billion. Now, new rules in H.R. 1, which was the One Big Beautiful Bill, create financial consequences for states with error rates at or above 6%. Depending on the rate, states could be responsible for 5, 10, or 15% of benefit cost beginning October 1st, 2027. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're delighted to be joined by some of the hardest working, most dedicated patriots in our country. That's called the American Farmers.
Speaking at a White House event for farmers on Thursday, President Donald Trump.
They gave us the worst inflation in the history of our country, 48 years to be exact. And they crushed farmers with the burdensome restrictions. And my first term, we had an agricultural trade surplus. Biden took that surplus and turned it into a $50 billion agricultural trade deficit. We had a big surplus with the farmer, and he took it in. I couldn't believe it. I was watching it happen with the rigged election, and he turned it into a $50 billion trade deficit. We had a deficit in agriculture, the worst we've ever had under Biden. He failed to negotiate a single trade deal on your behalf during a four-year period. That's because he had no idea where the hell he was. And in his last year, farm bankruptcy rose to the highest levels ever, more than 55% up. One of the things I did for the farmers, I don't know if we get to it, but in the Great Big Beautiful Bill, so many farmers, they love their children and they want to leave their farm to the children, and the children love the farm and they don't want to move into the big city because they're very smart. They want to stay in the farm. And I ended in the Great Big Beautiful Bill the death tax on farms and small businesses. So now you have a president that fights for the American farm. And after years of getting ripped off by other countries on trade, we've reduced the agricultural trade deficit just this year by 42%, opening markets to the American exports. And all over the world, we're opening up markets for the farmers. We have another one, a new market coming up, and that's called the lovely country of Iran. It's a beautiful place. Would anybody like to go there? The Islamic Republic of Iran, they're having a hard time with food, and we're going to be taking some of their money, and we'll spend it, and we're going to be buying wheat, soybeans, and corn, a lot of it. And that process is going to be starting pretty soon. It's going to be pretty big, too. I think it's going to be very big. We have an expanded market, dairy, and Europe, and the dairy market, as you know, in Europe, we've opened it up because they had it closed. And Asia, South America, Australia is now allowing U.S. beef into its market for the first time in more than 25 years. And China is committed to purchase at least $17 billion in U.S. agricultural products, in particular soybeans. So I just left President Xi three or four weeks ago, and he's agreed to purchase $17 billion worth of mostly soybeans and different things, but mostly soybeans. I terminated the insane electric vehicle mandate, which would have gutted the ethanol industry forever. We eliminated unnecessary restrictions on sales of E15, and I made it clear that I will sign a bill allowing E15 all year round. I also repealed the Biden administration's ridiculous Waters of the United States rule. It sounds so beautiful. The waters of the United States. We passed the largest tax cuts in American history and made the small business tax deduction permanent, benefiting 98% of farmers and ranchers to help keep your family farms in good shape. But it was a fantastic thing that we did for the farmer. I took a lot of heat because sometimes there is a group of people that are the exact opposite of the farmers, and what's good for the farmers is not good for them. But I am pro-farmer.
Again, at a White House event for farmers on Thursday, President Donald Trump. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The fog of war continues related to the United States and Iran, with the two parties giving very different accounts of what has been agreed to thus far.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
That's largely because both parties must worry about how their stakeholders view the agreement. Both sides also are trying to shape public opinion on the other side. President Trump wants to shape public opinion here in the States ahead of the midterm elections, but he also wants the people of Iran to see the United States as their savior, so to speak, saving them from the brutality of the Revolutionary Guard. On the other hand, the Revolutionary Guard wants to build distrust of President Trump into the minds of voters here in the States, while also projecting an image back home that it remains fully in control and not weakened at all by the war. The truth has big implications, not only for the stability of the region, but also for the commodity sector. So what do we know? First, we know that shooting has largely stopped. It could start again at any time, but for now it has stopped. Ships are moving again through the Strait of Hormuz at an increasing pace. The range of estimates on the volume of oil and product and other freight moving through the moving out of the Persian Gulf varies tremendously, largely because some of the ships are still transiting the region with their transponders turned off, indicating the amount of fear and uncertainty that is still present. But it looks like several dozen ships per day are now passing through the strait. That's a tremendous improvement, but it's still well below the 80 to 130 ships per day that passed through the strait pre-war. Now, part of that is because most of the flow currently is ships heading out of the strait, out of the Persian Gulf, with a much smaller number, just a handful of ships thus far, heading into the Persian Gulf to pick up loads. Restoring economic activity means restoring the flow of ships in both directions. It's one thing to release the hundreds of ships containing cargo that were previously trapped in the Persian Gulf. That provides a surge of product to the world. But the bigger indicator would be when we see a surge of ships returning to the Persian Gulf for crude oil and other products to keep that supply flowing. The United States has control of frozen Iranian assets. That's been the case for a while. Iran can only access those assets if the United States chooses to release them, and that's the point of contention. Has the United States released them or not? Now, the White House says that it also has control of oil revenue flowing from the sale of Iranian oil, but that also cannot be confirmed. The Trump administration says that Iranian assets are being released via the purchase of food and medicine for the people of Iran. That cannot be confirmed yet either, but that message is flowing consistently now from a number of different sources within the White House. The consistency and persistence of the message does give it some credibility. The Trump administration insists that the resources will be used for, among other things, the purchase of U.S. ag commodities to feed the people of Iran. Now, Iran purchased 18 million metric tons of corn, soybeans, and wheat, mostly corn from Brazil, in 2025. That was calendar year 2025. Iran hasn't made any meaningful purchases of ag commodities from the United States since 2018. It has little desire to do so now. As such, any confirmation of ships loading with U.S. ag commodities for Iran would provide confirmation of the White House's statements. We thus far lack that, but that's not a surprise. That will take time.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
2 years ago, we had a dead country. We were a dead country. We were a laughingstock all over the world.
President Donald Trump on Thursday from the White House at a dinner for farmers.
We had a man that couldn't walk down those two steps. We had a man that couldn't sign a document. He had to use an auto pen. You saw the auto pen over there? He was an auto pen. We call him the auto pen president. And think of it, like 96% of the things he signed, he couldn't sign his name. What happened was a rigged election. But think of it, 2 years ago, we were a country that was laughed at all over the world. The king of Saudi Arabia said to me, Mr. President, a year ago, this was when I was with him a year ago, he said, a year ago, you had a dead country. We never thought you'd come back. And now you have the hottest country anywhere in the world. We are the hottest country anywhere in the world. We have the strongest military. We took over Venezuela in less than one day. Iran, effectively, within a week and a half, we knocked out their entire military, their leadership, their aircraft, their navy. They had 159 ships within 1.5 weeks. They were all at the bottom of the sea. Yesterday, they took out 19 million barrels of oil. That's the most in the history of the Strait. And the oil prices are dropping like a rock. And, you know, as goes oil, so goes everything else, including all of your products. You have to spend a lot of money for your tractors. Now you're going to be spending much less than you were spending just a few weeks ago. We had to go and make a U-turn. We had the best numbers we've ever had. And I called in Scott, I called in Howard, I called in a lot of the people standing right there. I called in our great Secretary of the Interior, Doug, and I said, here's the story. We just hit records. Our country is doing better than it's ever done. The stock market, we've had 73 all-time highs in less than a year and a half. Think of that, 73 days we hit highs. But we had just hit the highest we ever were. And that was 3 months ago, 3.5 months ago. And I said, well, here's the story. We're doing great, but now we're going to have to make a U-turn. We're going to have to journey down to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Because if we don't do it, they're going to have a nuclear weapon. And if they have a nuclear weapon, the world is in great danger. Israel is gone. The Middle East is gone. But the world is in great danger. And I said, we're going to journey down. We're going to do what we have to do. And we did. We knocked the hell out of them. And now we're negotiating from a position of pure strength, pure strength. They know that. And the Strait's already open, and we're setting records of the Strait. But we had to do that. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. You want to see problems, right? You know that. You want to see problems, you give them a nuclear weapon. They'll use it within the first hour, and we're not going to let that happen. So we did that. They will not have a nuclear weapon. And they've agreed to that, 100% agreed to that. But very importantly, though, we have the hottest country right now anywhere in the world. We have the strongest military in the world. I rebuilt the military in my first term. We have the strongest military anywhere in the world. We have the hottest country anywhere in the world. But we're building more factories than at any time and plants than at any time in the history of our country. And as far as I'm concerned, you are the people. You are the very special ones. You're the chosen ones. You're the farmers. And you're the ones that keep it all going. So I'm with you 1,000%. Brooke, great job you're doing. If she doesn't do a great job, let me know. I will fire her immediately. Now, she's fantastic. And thank you very much.
White House event for farmers on Thursday. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
June 1st, all hogs and pigs is at 73.7 million head, down slightly from previous year inventory. Breeding hogs is at 5,880,000 head, a decrease of 1.2% from 2025. Market hogs is at 67.8 million head, up 0.1% from last year's inventory.
Travis Averill is chief of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service's livestock branch.
The top five states are listed in the bottom left-hand corner. Iowa leads the way at 24.7 million, up 2% from previous year. Minnesota's in second, up 3% from previous year. And as you can see, the bottom three of the top five states are in red, as North Carolina is down 5%, Illinois is down 6%, and Indiana is down 1% from previous year. For the 14 published states, five states are increasing from previous year, and nine states are decreasing from 2025. There's two states with a pound sign following the inventory. That's in Iowa. That's a record high. It tied us back in June of 2024. And you see another one in Michigan that ties a record high for Michigan that last was back in 1992. Market hogs is at 67.8 million. So let's look at the breakouts of the market hogs by weight groups. Less than 50 pounds is at 21.1 million head, up slightly from last year. 50 to 119 pound weight group is at 19.1 million head. That is a decrease of 0.5%. It's the only category that is showing a decrease from last year. 120 to 179 pounds is at 14.9 million, up 0.5% from last year. The 180 pounds and over is at 12.7 million, up 0.4% from 2025. Sows farrowed from March to May 2026 is at 2,823,000 head. That is down 29,000 from previous year. Second intentions for June to August 2026, sows farrowing is at 2,900,000, down 2.2% from prior year's actual farrowings. In the March note, in the March hogs and pigs report, NASF had first intentions for June to August at 2,904,000. The first intentions for September to November 2026, sows farrowing is at 2,891,000, down 16,000 from previous year's actual farrowings. Here we have the pig crop wean for March to May of 2026 at 33,521,000 head, a slight increase from previous year. Pigs per litter weaned is at 11.87, up from the rate of 11.75 from last year and down 0.03 of a pig from previous quarter's rate of 11.9. Sow efficiency continues to improve year over year, as this was the highest pigs per litter weaned from March to May. All breeding hogs and first intentions for sows farrowing September to November are within trade expectations. Whereas hogs and pigs inventory, market hogs, the pig crop for March to May, and the second intentions for sows farrowing June to August were below trade averages. The Canadian feeder pigs and slaughter hogs imported for the second quarter of 2026 accounted for 1,875,000 head compared to 1,682,000 head in 2025. This is an increase of 11.5% from 2025. Of the imports from Canada, 73% are feeder pigs, or 1,374,000 head, up 7.4% from prior year's total of 1,280,000 head. Slaughter hogs accounted for 27% of the Canadian imports, or 501,000 head, up 24.5% from last year's total of 403,000 head.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
What we're looking for is the corn acres to come in at 94.9 million acres. That's down a little bit from the March survey, which was 95.3, and definitely down from a year ago when we planted 98.8 million acres.
Jim McCormick is co-founder and COO of AgMarket.net.
A lot of that has to do with the dip in the fertilizer price. That dip has to do with fertilizer prices and maybe a little bit of excess moisture in part of the Midwest where we just couldn't get the corn in, and that shifted some acres to beans. Hence, we're looking for the bean acres. They were at 84.7 million acres in March. We think that survey is going to come in closer to 85.3 million acres, a pretty good jump from last year's acreage of 81.2 million acres.
But why is this report so important?
It's going to give the trade an idea where it's at. The one thing to remember, Tony, on these acreage estimates, they are surveys from the producers. So, and to be quite honest, the survey response rate has been falling dramatically over the last couple of years, which means you're not getting quite as good a data points. And that will leave some room for some error. A year ago, the difference between the March survey and the final corn acreage number was an increase of 3 million acres. So what I tell the listeners out there is we're going to trade this. As I mentioned, the computers are going to run with it, and we need to trade with it. That'll be the number we use in the July WASDE from here on out until we get the more solid answers on acreage when everyone certifies their acres from the insurance levels. So we'll see what it is. Like I said, that's where we're at. There is another number we are going to get out there, Tony. On the corn numbers is usually the big one, and that's going to be the corn stocks number. You look at what happened on March 1, we had a record amount of corn stocks at 9.02 billion bushels. When we look at where demand estimates put the June 1 stocks, we're looking somewhere around 5.4 billion bushels. That would be the largest June 1 stocks on record, I believe. And that's 17% higher than a year ago level. So what we could see is a little bit friendly number on the corn side of the equation on the acreage, but the stocks number may be viewed a little bit negative. We'll have to just see how that number plays out on Tuesday.
Export demand for corn has been tremendous, especially to Mexico, and it's going into the feeding industry.
The odds are when it's all said and done, the government's going to have to raise their export demand on the corn. The bean demand is still going to struggle. We did start seeing some bean demand, Tony, from China last week, which is very, very important. China committed last fall to buy 12 million metric tons of old crop beans, 25 million metric tons of new crop beans. They hadn't seen any purchases from China officially, maybe some unknown destinations that could be China, but no official destinations to China until last week. So that is a very good sign that China's starting to move into the market. On the corn, that's the wild card. Remember, Tony, they talked about buying up to 17, the White House, I should say China was going to buy up to $17 billion worth of ag goods above and beyond the bean purchases. So we haven't seen that yet. That's what the market's looking for. And that's going to be the one thing I think that could really get the market excited is you could get these Chinese buyers in. The question is when.
And then there's the grain stocks report.
The government does a survey to try to find out how much grain is on hand as of June 1. And that'll allow us to back into the feed number and find out how accurate the feed number is. The industry is questioning it. I shouldn't say questioning, but it was pondering where that number is going to be, because a year ago, the feed usage and residual category was 5,454,000,000 bushel. This year, it's 6.2 billion. So you're looking a huge increase year on year is what the USDA has dialed in for this year's corn demand. A big movement is the feed number. This number on Tuesday will help give us clarification. Is that feed number accurate, or is it overstated, I should say?
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.